Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for being with us today. You know, many are unaware there are three types of punishments, and each one has a different purpose. Some confuse the purpose and then reach a false conclusion regarding the punishment of hell. Here are the three types and reasons for the punishment. First, preventative, which is meant to prevent others from doing the same wrongdoing. Second, remedial or redemptive, which means to bring about improvement in the person. And number three, retributive, meaning a deserved punishment, not meant for improvement.
So, Bill, those who believe in universalism believe in redemptive punishment.
Correct.
They believe the punishment in hell will be constructive to the individual and bring about improvement, and they will eventually be let out of hell. What deception.
Right, that's completely untrue.
You know, I like what Dr. J.I. Packer said in Hell Under Fire. He said, a universalist is someone who believes that every human being whom God has created or will create will finally come to enjoy the everlasting salvation into which Christians enter here and now. So basically, they believe all roads lead to heaven, no matter what you believe.
Right. So there'd be no reason for the cross. Completely false. You know, they reject the idea of eternal punishment because they cannot reconcile a loving God with a God who would allow eternal torment. But what they fail to realize is God is not only loving, but also a God of justice and judgment. And justice always demands judgment. You know, Dr. Christopher W. Morgan in the book Hell Under Fire, page 216, said, God's love does not drive his justice. The implementation of God's justice does not undermine his love. God's love and justice cohere. Then in my book, Hell, Separate the Truth from Fiction, on page 274, I quote A.W. Pink, and he said, quote, to argue then that because God is love, he will not inflict eternal torment on the wicked is to ignore the fact that God is light and to asperse his holiness. Moreover, to deny the justice of eternal punishment is to fly in the face of Christian consciousness, close quote. So, and then one more, Holman's Bible Dictionary, page 745, says, the Word of God teaches that the suffering of the lost in hell is eternal. The assertion that God would be unfair to punish eternally a temporal sin underestimates the seriousness of sin, the spiritual nature of sin, and the supreme holiness of God. Those are all good quotes.
Absolutely. You know, the punishment in hell is not meant to be constructive as it is deserved. Our sin is deserving of eternal punishment because of whom we have sinned against, a holy, omnipotent, perfect, eternal God.
That's right. And I explain this further in a video we have on our website called Why an Eternal Hell is Justifiable. And that further clarifies that point. But you know, in addition, punishment to bring about improvement is not what saves. An improved person would still be an unredeemed person. Time spent in hell is not what brings redemption. Only the shed blood of Jesus can redeem a person, as Hebrews 9:22 states. 1 Peter 1:18 states, ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ.
Isn't that so true? The precious blood of Christ. You know, and besides that, temporary punishment in hell would represent works. In other words, the time in hell was sufficient to pay for their sins. However, time is the wrong premise, since time would represent works. We are saved by grace through faith and not by works, as Ephesians 2:8 and 9 state.
That's so good. Time is a wrong premise. You know, also, our time is not valuable enough to pay off our sins. Again, only the shed blood of Jesus can accomplish that. Punishment in hell would not produce a changed heart and a love for God. Just as if a man punished his wife, you know, it would not cause her to love him.
Absolutely. Not.
Right. You know, we are given a new heart and a new spirit when we trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross, died for our sins, and then rose from the dead. That's how we're saved.
Yes. And to go a step further, we are saved by faith, not by punishment. And faith only comes from God and through the Word of God. Punishment can never bring faith, and without faith, a person cannot be saved.
That's a good point.
So their belief is faulty and unscriptural for all of these reasons.
That's right. You know, and the three types of punishment are found in the Bible. Dr. Robert A. Peterson, in the book Hell on Trial, page 211 and 212, says, quote, all three types of punishment are biblical. Number one, preventative punishment is seen in Paul's guidance concerning church officers who fall into serious sin. Quote, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may take warning. That's in 1 Timothy 5:20. Then number two, remedial punishment is observable in Hebrews 12, where readers are exhorted to endure hardship as discipline. And then number three, the principle of retributive punishment undergirds the instruction God gave Noah after the flood. Quote, whosoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9:6. Although capital punishment may have a deterrent effect, its primary purpose is to repay the offender for taking a human life.
That's a good example. I know Peterson goes on to say, the preaching of hell certainly involves preventative punishment. When we warn people of God's wrath, our desire is that they might repent and believe so as to be spared the pains of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, however, does not involve remedial punishment. I mean, the idea of hell as a school from which the wicked eventually graduate, as Origen and John Hick have taught, is contrary to the Bible's teachings and therefore must be rejected as false.
That's a good quote from Peterson.
That is.
You know, some of our Christian professors, as the two mentioned above, along with others, believe in universalism or annihilationism. And again, Robert A. Peterson, in the book Hell on Trial, page 140 through 142, Peterson is quoting comments from John Hick, who is a British philosopher of religion, who doesn't believe in an eternal hell. And Hick says, quote, the sufferings of the damned in hell, since they are interminable, which means have no end, can never lead to any constructive end beyond themselves, and are thus the very type of ultimately pointless and wasted anguish. If we see as the heart of Jesus' teaching the message of active and sovereign divine love, we shall find incredible and even blasphemous the idea that God plans to inflict perpetual torture upon any of his children. God will eventually succeed in his purpose of winning all men to himself in faith and love.
That's interesting. You know, Hicks sees Jesus as only love and not a God of justice. You know, he doesn't see that our sin is deserving of eternal punishment because God is love. It's almost like when he said the message of active and sovereign divine love, like God's controlling our free will to choose, and we're always going to choose and get saved. You know, that's, I don't know why.
Right.
He believes that or sees that. You know, in addition to that, he fails to point out the horrific death Jesus went through in order to, for all of us to stay out of hell.
Right.
You know, the cross is proof of God's great love for us. Also, did Jesus have to suffer so severely if everyone goes to heaven anyway?
Right.
You know, he also is mistaken when he says that those in hell are God's children. They are not his children, as Galatians 3:26, John 1:12, 8:44, 12:36, 17:9, Romans 9:7 and 8, Ephesians 1:5 and 5:1 all state. They are his creation, but they are not his children.
That is such a good point, because so many believe that all are God's children. So that's really important for people to get those scriptures. You know, in the book Hell Under Fire, page 207, Christopher W. Morgan quotes Clark Pinnock as saying, quote, what purpose of God would be served by the unending torture of the wicked except sheer vengeance and vindictiveness? Such a fate would spell endless and totally unredemptive suffering, pointless. There would be a serious disproportion between sins committed in time and the suffering experienced forever. That's what he says. Close quote. Now, Pinnock sees sin as not so serious as to deserve eternal punishment and sees time as payment for sins. That again would be works to save a person. Our redemption was provided on the cross for all who repent and receive him now, because faith is required for salvation. Punishment nowhere in the Bible provides salvation. This thinking also diminishes the work of the cross. You know, to pay a person's To say a person's time would pay for sins is to say that his blood on the cross was insufficient. Well, this is totally unscriptural.
Exactly. You know, and these next verses show that we are justified by his blood and his grace and not by time spent in hell.
That's good.
This is a great scripture, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again in Romans 5:9, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, justified by his blood.
That's cool. That's really good.
Not by punishment. And then Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith.
Oh, those are so good, those three verses. You know, so we are justified by his grace and his blood. And our part is to have faith in the cross. That's what's required for salvation. You know, and these next verses show us how a person can be saved and escape the wrath of God in an eternal hell. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless a man repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a requirement for salvation. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Galatians 3:22, but that the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And then John the Baptist said this in John 3:36, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You have to know the Son. So it's clear, you know, not everyone is going to go to heaven, as the Universalist states. You know, hell is eternal, as Jesus said in Matthew 25:41. Also, Matthew 18:8 says everlasting fire. Matthew 3:29, Jesus mentioned eternal damnation. And Mark 9:43, Jesus said, the fire that never shall be quenched. So hell is eternal. Just like heaven's eternal, so is hell.
So we can see that repentance, turning from sin and turning to God and believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, is the only way to be saved and stay out of hell, and not by serving time in hell.
Right. Again, time is a wrong premise. Now, if you think that God is mean for allowing eternal suffering, well, remember, it's the same God who suffered horrific death on the cross to keep us out of hell. If that's not proof enough of his love for mankind, I don't know what is. You know, punishment must not be confused with chastisement. Chastisement seeks to develop character, where punishment satisfies justice. Hell is justice served according to God. So staying out of hell is a matter of choice. Universalism and their belief of redemptive punishment is completely unscriptural.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.